Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd's Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
I'm calling. I just had a young kid from Iowa got drafted by the Pirates, friend of mine.
No.
The Brewers, did you have any idea who was going to be calling you? Had they reached out to you?
No, it was funny. So I knew they were on me a little bit, but honestly, I honestly didn't even really know. You're told all these different things about what teams want you and all this and that. But I mean, at the end of the day, they called my name. So it was one of those where, I mean, no matter what, I feel like I was going to be surprised no matter what and shocked. But it was a really cool moment for me and my family when they called my name.
Well, Taden, I think you already have a fan. You know where I'm perched, right here at Ferg's on the entryway, right? Right here on the street where you were last year.
Oh yeah,
I just had a gentleman simultaneously as you're talking about the Brewers comes in and he's got a Brewers T-shirt on.
Oh no way!
That's karma, baby. That's karma.
Oh, I love it.
Yep, there is one fan club down here in Tampa for the Brew Crew.
Well, I love it.
Okay, so the family's excited, and then you get a call from their front office. That gives you the logistics of your next move?
Yeah, so got a call from them, and honestly, man, I blacked out ever since. So, I mean, it was one of those things where, I still feel numb to this day and even to this moment, but all I know is I head out tomorrow morning to Phoenix, and that's where I start my journey.
Okay, now, I knew you're heading to Arizona. Your pops had let me know that. Now, what is this, a ball, or is this something for the transition for the college players? What level will you be in? I mean, down in Bradenton, I've got a youngster from Iowa, pitcher, that he's down there, and he's kind of in the preparation to go to the A club. Is that where you're headed?
No, so they're flying me out. I'm gonna be at their spring training facility, and it's kind of, they call it a mini camp, and that's, you know, where I do all my physicals and, you know, make sure I get all right, and you know, I gotta pass a bunch of stuff in order for me to, you know, confirm that I'm a Brewer, whatever, all that stuff. And then around August, September, that's when it starts. It's called the Arizona Complex League, and so that's kind of the rookie ball. That's kind of like fresh out of high school, college, over, you know. It's like the intro to pro ball. So I'll go there and then kind of get my feet wet a little bit, and then they'll send me off to wherever they need me to.
Well, it's a good thing it's been hotter than hell here in Florida, because you're obviously not making a transition like your pops did to a place that's a little milder, even though it hasn't been in Colorado of late. But you won't have the humidity to deal with, but you're going to have plenty of heat down there.
Man, I tell you what, I was looking at the weather the other day, and I saw, I think it was a high of 114. I'm like, oh my God, I got to drink water.
Yeah, stay hydrated, my man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I'm proud that I got a chance to meet you in person. You'll have a big bandwagon following now with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and our reach. Anything you're doing, get it to me. It's not self-serving. People like to follow kids from this area, and I'd love to get updates, and your dad will provide them for me. But I wish you nothing but success. This has got to be a great time in your life. And what I'm really impressed is that you never felt pressure to play the same position that your dad successfully did. You went your own way, and he pretty much formulated that in his own mind how he's going to handle you. And now it's successful, and that's a great family story.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, young man. Good luck. Stay in touch.
Will do. Thank you again for having me on.
You betcha. That's Taden Hall, the 282nd draft pick of the Milwaukee Brewers.
That Brewers fan walking in while he's isn't that nuts?
Let me take a care.
I think that might be the first Brewers fan I've seen walking to Ferg's too.
Well, when they've played down here, you know, they have a pretty good. There's a lot of people, Wisconsinites like us Iowans, that got the hell out of Dodge because it's a little nippy up there. But let me take care of a little business, and then we'll throw you two wizards on the air. Sports Thread and the Prep Connection. Sports Thread supporting youth and prep sports and integrity. We've got a partnership with Sports Thread. We'll be talking about that at length. You can get a hold of Logan over in Orlando. I just talked to Roger Warren this week about it. He is at 561-401-8296, or email him, Logan@sportsthreadcsfl.com. And I'll tell you right now, if you have kids, or you're in travel teams, anything, go check out that app, Sports Threads app. It's amazing. It's free. It's Instagram for positive performances in youth and high school sports, as well as almost resumes for college coaches. It's one heck of a concept, and it can be used in the peewees and the preps. And I'm looking forward to building that relationship here on the west coast of Florida, being used over in central Florida right now. And remember, we're on our affiliate stations in the second hour. Of course, our 106.1 FM, and that is the flagship, of course, and 1340 AM up in Clearwater, St. Pete. Big Ed on the controls, WZHR FM 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350, and WZHR 102.3 FM AM 1400. Now I'll get out of the way, let the youngsters, brought to you by Coors Light, enlighten you on the world of college football as we are just weeks away from Nittany Lions kicking it off, the Michigan State Spartans, and the University of Iowa Hawkeyes. And this is not the Big Ten conversation, but you guys can certainly switch the gear, and that wouldn't break the old man's heart.
It might become that.
Have at it, fellas.
Dream big, Oscar. Dream big.
Dream big.
The Big Ten motto.
First off, I want to apologize to everyone on here. I had to get a body armor before coming down here. I wasn't feeling too hot, so... We're getting ourselves together. We're getting kicked off. We're going to have a good time.
Because you were a 23-year-old last night.
Yeah, I was a 23-year-old last night. Kind of fell into some old habits, but we're back. For those who are newer to the show, Alex the Axeman here is a good friend of mine. He hasn't been on in a little while. He's a world traveler, sports watcher, Jeezy concert attender.
No, I didn't make it to the Jeezy concert, sadly, but... Happy to be back on the airways. I feel like it's been too long since we've talked. I guess, when was the last? Hey, we were talking NBA playoffs last time.
Yeah, and that was
early NBA playoffs, so.
And now we're in the valley of sports. That is July leading up until August. Training camps are starting as well, and I guess that's a good segue into football. The last big story that came out on the NIL front was the conversation that Nick Saban was having with his kind of closer circle. I don't know if he knew that was public, kind of blasting Texas A&M, all that stuff going on, Texas A&M firing back over the bow. And recently we've had Saban actually come out way more in favor than he was before. I don't know if you remember, but he was like, yo, something's got to change. We need rules, da-da-da-da-da. Like, yeah. You know. Yeah, we might be losing the recruiting race, and now he gets up on stage at a media day maybe just a week ago, and now he's, you know, oh, I love it. The players, nobody makes more money than the Alabama players, and we're in a weird spot here. I mean, what NIL just got cleared a year ago, and here we are, you know, having these conversations now. Things have started to spiral rather quickly. What's your current feel for where we're at right now? I mean, we've got so much going on. I'll let you kind of lead where your thoughts have been on this recently.
Well, yeah. I mean, so we're only a year into the NIL, but it certainly feels like it's been around longer the way it's completely changed the college football landscape. But I also think we're in such a state of initial shock. I mean, we went from years of you cannot accept any form of payment, any form of monetary, physical, anything as a student athlete. The amateurism was preserved in such a high regard, despite the fact teams and schools and conferences were making billions of dollars off of athletes. And then we went into this mode where guys are getting million-dollar deals, and the public usually reacts poorly to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And for better or worse, you know, we do want to see student athletes get taken care of.
Of course.
We want to see... If you're a guy that brings in a lot of... That's much better. Yeah. I hear myself now. If you bring in money to the organizations, you bring in money to your schools, you should have a right to profit off of your name and likeness. However, we're now seeing guys like Miami's Isaiah Wong threaten schools if his NIL deal doesn't improve. So we have a completely new landscape that I think everyone's trying to figure out. But it's also not new in the sense that guys have been getting paid for years. Well, everyone knows it. It's the worst kept secret in sports, arguably, that Alabama did not just build themselves on, you know, hard work and sweat. That there were grease palms along the way.
Oh, of course.
As, you know, guys, boosters looked out for their programs, and that's basically, we just legalized cheating. That's what Lane Kiffin said. It is a legalized form, and the rich get richer, and the poor fall back. I mean, it's an unfair game, but we also have the NIL's kind of taken a lot of the heat off of the fact that the transfer portal has completely changed sports and the
crazy
way that rosters are built now. Because if you look at Texas, they're one of the biggest names in
right.
the sport right now with the signing of
Arch Manning
Cooper,
right.
Cooper's son, you know, nephew of Peyton and Eli Manning. The current Texas roster has arguably four quarterbacks that you or I would take. I mean, I certainly would take as a Penn State fan.
I would, 100%.
Although Drew Aller's the future. But I would say that if you look at their, Quinn Ewers was what Arch Manning is currently in terms of recruiting pedigree.
Right.
And people are already looking to the future of Arch Manning. And basically, the ability to just move at the end of a season, which is currently what, I don't know if you just saw this, they released it this week, the NCAA is considering a proposal to make it legal to transfer after every single season.
Okay, so this is a good inflection point right here. Now, what if I told you there was a sports league where players got paid for the revenue that they bring and the success that they bring to a team? They can aggressively work their way out of that team to another team. And then at the end of that season, they play on one of the world's biggest stages for a trophy, bragging rights, and naming rights to the world champion of football. What if I told you that league existed?
I'd watch that.
Would
league.
You watch that?
I think I'd watch that.
Now,
I think some people would watch
the
that.
Crazy thing is, we watch that every yeah. year, and now we get to watch pro football inside of the college level. And yeah. that's, if you're going to open up the transfer portal after every season, the control that these schools are going to lose, I mean, it's going to put them in a whirlwind that they won't be able to keep up with. They're changing the landscape faster than I think that these coaches, these ADs, that Commissioner Warren, Commissioner Sankey, I don't think they can keep up with. The money is going to move faster than policy will.
Yeah.
And I'm at a loss on that one. Where does this go? Do we end up with a salary cap league? Is that what's going to happen? Do we have real agents representation, contract negotiations that are on the forefront of the news cycle? Is that what this is going to be?
You know, at the end of the day, people go where the money takes them, and that's completely evident by the conference realignment, which we haven't even discussed. But from a player specific angle, I mean, guys are going to go to look out for their best interests, and teams are going to be hurt by that, and programs are going to be hurt by that. But it's also in the sense that programs have been benefiting off of the fact that these guys haven't had any control, and now they have they could have complete control. So it's just a shifting of eras too, because, you know, in previous years, it was more like, if you go to a team, you got to stick with that team. That's your team. You got to earn your way to the starting quarterback spot, earn your way onto the roster. Now, if you have four guys on a team that are all just as talented as you, there's only one team that has playing time, you know?
Yeah, so I pose this question because we're so used to the traditional way that this league is set up. Is it the fact that these players have all the control, or is it now that the money and the policy levels the playing field? Because in the past, no one cared when I'm a benefit of this. My coach, Mel Tucker, got bought out from Colorado.
Yeah.
Like Lane Kiffin is another coach who's been bought out. Lincoln Riley, was he?
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I mean.
Went from Oklahoma. Like,
so, ran from the Smoky, didn't want anything to do with the SEC, and now
now he might have to run into them at some point.
Yeah. So is it now that it's kind of more even, the players are in it as much as they're
as their coaches and ADs and schools are? Or is it really the scale has tipped in their favor?
I mean, I think that's just something we're going to have to see play out, because the programs are just so... the league has completely changed. We're in such a different model that it feels like the players are more empowered than the programs, but the programs are still going to be benefiting off of these insanely large deals.
The TV deals are going to be nuts.
Which is what's driving the conference realignment. I mean, the Big Ten is rumored to get $1.1 billion for their new deal. They're currently on a $440 million deal with ESPN and Fox.
Gives me chills.
And that's before they announced the additions of USC and UCLA, who now can provide you the West Coast market. They're now in L.A., New York, and Chicago, three of the biggest cities in the country.
We just added a whole new time zone to the Big Ten. I know Mike is over here at ANSI. What do you have to say?
Well, let the old man, I'll mute your mic, let the old man insert this question for you guys. Who's to blame for all this taking place?
Who's to blame for all this taking place? It is the NCAA. I don't think we would be at this point yet. I think it would eventually would have happened. But had they properly taken care of student athletes in the past with a reasonable stipend, all sports, men's, women's, if you're a student athlete, this is how much you're getting. Two grand a month, $4,000, I don't care what the number is. They could have afforded it. We would, and this, Kirk Herbstreit made this statement about a year and a half ago. We would have never had this monster released and be in the situation we're at. The NCAA has no one but themselves to blame, and I want to know if you guys feel that same way.
Would you say that since we've been in this way for so long, that we've built up so much pent-up potential energy, and now when the floodgate opened, it was actually a flood? Whereas if we had turned it on just slightly over time, it would have been a lot easier to deal with this. Is that what you're saying?
It's called payback.
Yeah.
And the greedy old guy sitting...
Payback is a five-letter word.
Precisely. And the old guys sitting up in their corporate offices at NCAA are kicking themselves in the ass that, why didn't we see this potential taking place?
Yeah.
I'll step away.
I think what also you need to keep in mind is that the NCAA, they're profit-first business. Despite the fact that they were founded on the principle of amateurism and that athletes were meant to be amateurs. And, you know, maybe that model would have worked in 1905 when they created
it. I had to check my founding date.
But now, it's a century later, the money that is put into college sports, specifically football and basketball, has so far outpaced the laws that they created to start the game that, you know, you need to update those laws. And I mean, it just, you look at so many of, I don't want to call them atrocities, but just so many unfair, biased decisions that have been made in the case of Reggie Bush for accepting payments and losing his Heisman trophy.
Yep.
And the vacated wins that nobody believes that those games were won. That doesn't change those games, but you're going to quote unquote vacate the wins and we're all going to pretend that game wasn't played now, is that there were such a backwards model. And now I think what's also going to be interesting is we have essentially a lame duck president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, who's going to be stepping away pretty soon. I'm not sure when specifically, but there's going to be change in the NCAA, I think, under the new administration, because they're going to have to change. It's adapt or die, in my opinion. And with how much money is being pumped into these leagues and with how much money is available to these athletes now, who, again, there's still the regulation that they have to play in this league if they want to get to the pros, which in and of itself is a kind of a scam to those guys that are talented enough to play at the pros, especially in basketball. You have to consider what is going to be the best way to maintain the game. But really, it's sad because in the end, the fans are the ones who lose, because you're just not getting the matchups that we want to see. You're not getting rivalry.
Let's touch on the matchups. You might want to spin the sensitive part of your mic is the front part, so that's probably why. But
is that better?
That's so much. See there?
I didn't know that was the... Why did no one tell me this until now?
Well, thought...
That's his job, but he's on...
Right, exactly.
He's about 70%.
I haven't been here in a few months. I don't know.
The body armor hasn't fully kicked in yet. But look...
You want another one?
No, I'm good. Let's see. So,
want an IV?
Can you mute your own mic, possibly?
No, I run the show, bro.
The matchups, I think. Let's get down to what we really care about for 2 seconds here. We just added the West Coast to the Big Ten. Now, not
the Big Ten of 16 teams.
Exactly. What's going to end up being the Big 20 versus the SEC 20
probably
in a couple years. Who wins and who loses when USC and UCLA kick off season 2024 and they're playing, USC's playing the Iowa Hawkeyes and UCLA is playing Rutgers.
Well, that won't be the kickoff
game. No, that won't be the kickoff game.
Don't be putting my Hawks in that same category as Rutgers, you jackass.
But what happens? Who wins and loses in that edition? I can't help but, you know, I know my place in the Big Ten. I know where the Michigan State Spartans sit. We're relevant. We're competitive. But that slot moves down when you add a staple like USC. I wouldn't say UCLA as much, but USC in the football landscape to the mix. What do we do here?
Well, I mean, like you and I were talking about last night, there are conferences that have been very quiet recently, such as the ACC. That
we just had somebody on who was just talking about that. But
Wayne Hogan.
Yeah, Wayne Hogan
really,
on.
The only announcement we've heard from the ACC since all of this conference realignment has been happening was that they're switching over to their new 3-5-5 model with the three primary opponents annually, which...
Now, this is bad for radio because we don't have any visuals, yeah, but try your this best is, to kind of yeah. explain what's going on there.
So I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, looking...
We'll throw this on the Facebook page, up. Actually.
Yeah, it's... So the best way to describe it is, I'm from Pittsburgh, so I grew up a Pitt fan. Pitt is going to have three primary teams that are going to play every year. Those teams are going to be Boston College, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech.
And emphasize they do not change for the foreseeable future.
This is a 2023 through 2026 model, which is they're going to adapt to.
Okay.
And then the other 10 teams that are in the league, they're going to play twice during a four-year cycle, once at home and once in away. And then the top two teams will be the two teams that play in the championship by conference win percentage. So you're basically eliminating the Big Ten East, Big Ten West theory of ACC East. They're not ACC East.
No.
Isn't the Dr. Pepper division or something like that?
It's not geographical, I know that.
It's something like that. But basically you're eliminating the bad matchups that no one wants to see. You want to see the top teams play each other for the conference title. But... Which I think is probably the best way to model it if you're going to have these super conferences.
When we got into it, I was like, okay, yeah, this works.
It's going to be the future. And honestly, at first you're like, I don't know if I like that. But as long as the teams that you want to see, if the Big Ten modeled this, you want to see, I was thinking as a Penn State fan, I want to see us play Ohio State, I want to see us play Michigan, I want to see us play Michigan State probably every year. Those are our three teams. If you're a Michigan State fan, you want to see Michigan, Ohio State, and then...
Most likely Penn State or Purdue or something.
So... It maintains the fabric of we need to have these certain matchups.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets lost along the way and what has gotten lost along the way with all this money is the fact that we don't have the rivalry games of who's Michigan State's is Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan? Do you have a rivalry with any of those teams?
We do like to play Central, and that's a really fun matchup.
There's these local, Pitt versus West Virginia, the backyard brawl, is such a huge game.
Those matchups are what... honestly makes being in the geographical setting kind of fun.
Football so unique
because
there's no commonality to that in any other professional sports league.
No.
And it gets lost along the way. And we're only even talking about college football matchups. What's sad is the college basketball matchups. I grew up a Big East fan, and we had such great basketball back then between UConn, Syracuse, Pitt, West Virginia, I think, was at one point. I mean, they would play in basketball each other. There were such good matchups, and then it all dissipated due to the money, the conference realignment.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for years. This is not new.
No,
it's just
not.
The money is getting...
It just seems like we're rolling downhill very fast.
And then
quickly.
You couple it with the NIL, and you couple it with the transfer portal, which is completely just gotten over out of everyone's control. I mean, the way that you build a team anymore, you build a program, is just so different. And again, coaches are making 9.5.
The coaches
Kirby
that
Smart
adapt
Studios
to this,
$11.6 million.
The coaches that take this new space and they're new to their school and adapt quickly to how this transfer portal is going to work, instead of getting up on a stage and saying, you know, whatever we need, they're going to be the ones that come out, at least in the short term, with maybe an extra win or two on their schedule. And it's upsetting to say that it's going to be an adapt or die situation, because you'd hate to see the sport change that quickly. I want to turn it over to you, Mike. You had a little spaz out there for 2 seconds. I want to know, if Iowa had three opponents in the Big Ten that you had to play every year, just these are like my staple opponents every year for the next 4 or 5 years, who would you want to see? I imagine Wisconsin's on that list.
Number one, Wisconsin. Minnesota, because you play for Floyd the Pig.
Okay.
I mean, these are the bizarre things that Alex was talking about that have been in traditionally for 80, 90 years in some cases.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota, Wisconsin, people are just going to be, and even though it doesn't mean anything many times, but the reality is those are two right off the top. And Iowa State, it's the intrastate rivalry
that
you're talking about.
Yeah. Do you play Iowa State?
Every year.
Okay, they've maintained that game?
Yes, every year. Okay. And it's the biggest moneymaker. It's the bragging rights.
Huge.
We don't have a professional team in the state of Iowa. It is the game, and then they keep points all season long between Iowa and Iowa State for all sports, men's, women's, every sport that they participate against. And it's an hour and a half drive. There's a big trophy for that as well.
Yeah.
So that's my answer.
I like that. And if we bring, and I keep hammering on the UCLA USC thing, because they're so far away.
Gosh. The flight from Rutgers to UCLA is the same amount of time
I hope they never
as it
schedule
is
that game.
To go to Iceland, to Reykjavik.
You're kidding.
I was told that by someone, and I almost...
How'd you get that factoid? I love it.
I could not believe
it. I thought you were going to say London.
Yeah.
Iceland.
Iceland.
Iceland is kind of like one of those like transit stops where if you're going to Europe, you stop in Iceland.
That's hilarious.
You know? So it's just... it's. The idea of, a Rutgers, USC, UCLA, one of those matchups is just, it's mind-boggling. And that's not even going to be a moneymaker. No one wants to watch that game. People want to watch. I mean, it's just sad. You're losing the geographical matchups, the rivalry.
Passion.
Yes. What makes
true
college
passion.
Football, what makes college sports.
Talking
so
smack.
Unique.
I mean, you're down here for the Florida State game.
Huge.
In the last few years, hasn't been a damn thing as far as them advancing into any conversation on the national scene. But they still are down here loud and proud, Gators against Seminoles, and that's the way it is across America.
I would
America.
Even say USF, UCF is a match down here.
The war on four, they call it.
It's crazy.
The war on four.
It's like nothing else on a professional landscape. And honestly, what makes it so special is being able to go into those college towns, those environments.
It's a blast.
Where the fans are just so passionate, and you have, the grill. I mean, SEC culture is a completely different type of culture than Big Ten, because they don't play in the snow, and I'll say that
until
I die.
I can't wait till I go to my first whiteout, and it's just a bunch of UCLA fans sprinkled through.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
They don't travel. They won't come.
No.
It's too cold for them in State College, PA.
Imagine them playing a snow game. Golly.
They'll not know.
Well, fellas, this is just a snapshot to the audience of what you're going to hear from these two. I can't wait till you launch your own production. You're starting in August on The Stream, and I'll just give a little teaser out there.
Stream Team.
And I look forward to that.
Brought to you by Coors Light.
Right when we have some real sports to talk about instead of, midseason baseball and future football.
And the Red Sox getting smacked.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about that? Did we talk about that, Mike? That baseball game last night? Did you see?
Oh, my God.
28 to 5? 3? I think it was 28 to 5.
It's like 5, yeah.
They got 5.
They got
put
5, yeah.
Put 5 on the board. I'm going to talk to a former Rays catcher right now, Toby Hall, but you guys did a superb job.
Thanks.
And look forward to continuing to do this in the future. Bring some energy and some new topics to our broadening footprint. And I want to applaud this young man for everything he's doing for us right now in the world of social media.
He's the man.
Superb job.
Thank you,
you
sir.
Guys are going to be a great team. A lot of people are going to listen. The Big O and the Axe Man right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. And right now we're going to go, we're going to Boise, Idaho and talk to Toby Hall. What's going on, my man?
How are you guys? You guys doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing superb. But, and I don't know if you'll be able to... keep up with your son as far as a smooth operator during a interview. I was impressed. It was almost a year ago, Toby, that you guys were down here. He brought his buddies from USF, and we were talking about – he was moving in. You guys were moving him in that week. And,
isn't that crazy?
I said, there's been a lot of transition in your life, young man, all positive. And I got his side of it. Talk about as a dad, you know, how proud you are and the enthusiasm you and your wife and your daughter had for this announcement, the 282nd draft pick by the Milwaukee Brewers. And he just had been beaming, man.
It's exciting. It's and he's excited too, because he beat me by 12 picks, so back when I was a ninth rounder. So yeah, it's been a crazy year, and I think the biggest thing with his college part is, you know, him committing early to USF, and I reminded him, you got to fulfill your commitment and go, and if it doesn't work out, as his advisor, I'll find him plan B and get him in a situation to succeed.
Well, you know what impressed me, and I didn't know this. You guys didn't share this personal note, but he talked about that you never really wanted him to play baseball, and you didn't go out of your way to encourage it or promote it, even though your passion and success yourself, until he came asking for you, I applaud you for that.
I think the biggest thing, and I didn't want him to have any pressure, you know, growing up and feeling like he's got to play baseball and do what dad did. And so I never really pushed it. And I let him know. I said, hey, when you want to get better, you let me know. If you want to play and you want to get better, let me know. And he looked at me kind of like, you really don't want me to play baseball? And I said, no, because I don't want you to have the pressure that I had to go through and the pressure that of you trying to be a Major League Baseball player because your dad did. So it was exciting. He was around 12 when he goes, Dad, I want to get better. And I go, all right, let's do this.
Well, I think that was great advice from any parent, even if you're not in the majors. I took that position with my boys. I just wanted them to go out and participate, pick their sport, and have a good time. And, you know, I thought they'd be, you know, I was a track guy, D1, who cares, 100 years ago, and played a little D2 football. I thought they might want to gravitate. I kept my mouth shut. They ended up playing golf collegiately, and one went the football direction. But, yeah, you just sit back and let them gravitate. And in this case, loud and proud to you, he did select, and the same position as you.
Yeah. He's way better than I was, so that's the nice, his versatility, and he's got mom speed, and you know, he's able to catch, play first, and down the road, you know, maybe they'll help him out in the corner outfielder positions too, and because his bat will play, and the rest is up to him. And just so proud of all his dedication and hard work over these years, and the adversity he had to go through with you know, having to leave USF to go the State College of Florida to set him up exactly for this position that he went to through this draft.
Yeah, well, I had him share that with our audience too, because, you know, probably, you know, wondering, people that aren't in the baseball know, wondering why he made that move, and he explained that to us as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the night of the call. I didn't know you flew back, which is fabulous. So it was you and your wife and Tayden and your daughter, and you're all together. Talk about that moment.
It was so exciting. You know, it's you know, Sunday night was basically that first of five rounds, and then it was hard because we're like, all right, what if, you know, who do we call over? Do we have a big party? But what if it doesn't happen? And, you know, so we kind of kept it within our friends and family, and I was going through a bunch of texts because it goes quick, and I was on the phone with a couple other teams, and we're about to do it, and all of a sudden on TV it says Tayden Hall, Milwaukee Brewers picked him. It was crazy.
Oh my God. Hey, I bet there's a few hoops and hollers in that living room.
Oh, you're not kidding. I haven't had a exciting cry in a long time, and I don't even think I ever did when I probably when I got drafted and signed. But it was just, it was amazing to have that experience and be there for them. And next day, fly back to Boise.
Well, with our families and our children, it is more emotional, that's really cool. All right, well, let's talk. Go ahead.
I think the biggest thing with all the emotions is just seeing all his hard work come true, and he deserved every moment of that.
And he recognizes how important you and your bride have been in his success. Hey, by the way, he also has a lot, his mom's looks. I hate to tell you that, pal.
No question.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. Anyway, let's talk Toby Hall for a minute. You're in Boise. I love Boise, Idaho. I love Idaho, actually. So you guys are up there for a six-game series. How's it going since the last time I talked to you?
It's been awesome. You know, when I got a call from the Rockies to come coach this summer, and you know, my wife, I've been saying no for the last 6-7 years about coaching, and when they called, my wife said, "You got to say yes sometimes," and I finally said yes. And she goes, "You're gonna be in the summer. We'll be out in the summer in Colorado and Wyoming, Montana." It's been awesome. I mean, it's hot. It's hot everywhere, I think, in the United States, but it's exciting in this league because it's a Major League Baseball partner league. So a lot of these guys are considered 21st round to 40 round guys. And it's been fun watching them. A few of our guys got signed the other day by the Nationals and like free agent deals. So it's been exciting.
Well, I know you're busy. I appreciate you taking time to join me for a few minutes. I told Taden, it's not self-serving, but to keep us in the loop, so on our social media that we're expanding everything here in our world, Ferg and I, we like to follow the local kids. So anything as he advances down there in rookie league, keep us posted so we can, you know, we're proud of it, loud and proud of any of the kids in this area that are having this kind of success. So keep us in the loop, will you, my man?
We definitely will, and you guys all take care.
All right, enjoy Boise. Nice. Is it cool? Is it hotter? Is it hotter in hell still?
Yeah, it's hot. Okay. It's hot. About 100 degrees.
Yeah. Well, your son's about ready to know hot.
Oh yeah. It was funny because he actually flew out with me to Colorado to train with us before he left to the draft league, and he started getting a taste of the heat that's out here versus the humidity that we have in Florida.
Yeah, it's completely different. Actually, it was a year ago. I was in Glenwood Springs. All right, my man, have a great weekend. And again, success proud of the Hall family because they are all behind Taden's success. And we'll talk to you sometime down the road.
Appreciate it. You guys take care. Have a good day.
All right. Toby Howell, a proud papa, and should be, as every dad's dream. And actually, the same position that Toby Hall played for the White Sox and for the Rays, and he's become a part of baseball in the Tampa Bay area, and I'm very fortunate to have him into the Tampa Bay St. Pete Sports Connection world. Hey, let's do a little promo again for my girl. Let's talk work ethic, honesty, and personal service in the wide world of real estate in Tampa Bay. And she's my Iowa friend, Barb with Tampa Bay, Barb Grossenheiner with First Class Real Estate, Gulf to Bay. She brings her Midwest work ethic, integrity, and commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge growing up in a family of home construction success for decades. Come on down to the show. We're going to be giving a lot of things away down here on the show. We want people to come in person, and we're advancing our format, so we'll be talking about that. But Barbie will be down here. You can meet her, her bubbly personality. She comes from a family of home construction success, and her commitment to the client is 7 days a week, before the sale, after the sale. I told a story in the golf show that she's actually helped people paint to prepare and paint for people that are moving in. Nobody does that, but Barbie sure does. And I'll continue to recommend and promote her. I look forward to promoting her professional service to all of Tampa Bay. Reach out to her today, 712-540-3704. That's 712-540-3704. Barb with Tampa Bay at gmail.com. And now it's a conversation where we'll be doing weekly, and we're looking forward to the high school world that's about to kick off. In fact, I just got done talking to the Northeast High School basketball coaches that are down here, Fergs. This conversation, Prep Connection, is brought to you by Body Armor, and he is the voice of Seminole Sports, Brad Richardson. What's going on, my man?
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Pipes. So what's the topic for the day? You and I are going to continue to expand our footprint into high school sports, and not a whole lot to talk to about today, but you got a couple topics.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to be back here on the show. Now you hear my voice, my real voice when I talk to people. So, but anyway, yeah, I just wanted to kind of just talk today about just a couple things coming up. Current thing that actually happened a few days ago, we had two players from this Pinellas County area that were drafted. They were drafted, and I'm happy to say I'm really happy. I know two of them. And then the other thing we're going to talk about is just kind of different previews for coming fall with football. So how's that sound? Sound good?
You rock and roll, brother. I'm listening, and so is our audience.
All right, cool. So let's start. I just want to start real quick with the draft this year. Obviously, a lot of picks, but one of them I was, you know, really I knew was going to happen to get drafted this year was, of course, Justin Bench out of Ole Miss. Kid was a standout during the College World Series this year. One heck of a hitter, and one great infielder. I tell you what, I remember this kid watching him back at Calgary. I mean, Greg Olson, he's able to put on a great program and develop players very well, and this kid was definitely one of them. Now, last season, they had, of course, Matt Nelson go into the draft. He was number one, the first round, number 35 pick. And, of course, one that actually surprised me, and I nearly forgot about it, was, of course, Tyler Vogel over at Dunedin. You know, he's one great pitcher. I remember watching him this year. Of course, Seminole and Dunedin always face off. It's always a great game. Past season, there was, you know, it was a one-run win for Dunedin on the first game they played at the Dunedin Blue Jay Stadium. And then when they came to Seminole, in another 1-1 win this time. It was Seminole on Seminole Senior Night. So great kid on the mound, fantastic player. Just, I'm happy for both of them. They actually both got drafted by the San Francisco Giants. So great going for them and all that. I just wanted to wish them
How cool is that for those youngsters to go to the same organization?
Say it again?
I said, how cool is that for both those youngsters to go to the same organization?
I know. It's a great coincidence, but it's also really cool. I mean, you know, when you hear news like that, you know, they're going to the same organization. They're going to be moving up through that. I mean, you look at the Rays. I mean, the Rays have a fantastic farm system. I've heard nothing but great, too, about the Giants. So, that's great for both of them. It's kind of great to see that, you know, obviously the Giants picked them up.
You know, how many years have you been covering high school sports? And every year of the MLB draft, you see these names. You guys kind of take it for granted. Coming from the Midwest, it's a rarity. But you've always got a handful. Talk about some of the greats that you've actually got to see or call that have got the call up. And it's got to be an exciting for you as well as the families.
Yeah, I mean, well, two that obviously are going to stand out for me from Seminole, of course, are Joey Crable, who's now with the Orioles. I mean, he's jumped around with different organizations, and now he's found a great home in Baltimore. I remember watching him get drafted. I mean, family, awesome family, the Crables, great, great family, very supportive. And, of course, longtime friend of my family's, and a lot of people in Seminole know this guy. I mean, we see him all over, and as he always says, baseball is fun. That's Mr. Brett Phillips. This is Brett Phillips, so that he's one. One, of course, I got to announce, telling this to Ben last week, was, of course, Bo Bichette. Early on, kid was a standout, one heck of a swing, great shortstop. He was one I was really happy to see, and I kind of figured he would get drafted as well. So, I mean, those were some of the three standouts I got to see in the area. So, really, really cool on that. So, I mean, I've been covering it for a long time. I've been announcing it, obviously, as a lot of people know. So, yeah.
Well, and you also got to announce the Pinellas County All-Star Game several weeks ago, and some of those kids, you know, be going to college and playing, and you probably were calling several of them and aren't aware of it yet.
Say that one more time. Got cut off.
You just recently called over at Tropicana Field, the All-Star game for Pinellas County, and some of those kids are still on their way to college or junior colleges, and they may be drafted someday as well. You may have already called some of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them I did call. I mean, I got a chance to also announce a lot of the Tampa players as well. And, I mean, for what I got to do, I mean, that was a fantastic opportunity. It was kind of last minute. And, you know, I got to go over there and just to be able to be in that environment of Tropicana Field and just to hear your voice announcing those names and it just echoing in there was just incredible. And I always will appreciate Adam Moravec, who was able to give me a good word with Al Bennett, who's the Pinellas County Athletic Director, and just announcing those kids' names. I mean, these kids, you know, some of it was their last shot. Others of them are going to be, obviously, as you said, going on to playing college and all. And, you know, for me, the way I looked at it, it's a big send-off from their high school careers. It was a fantastic opportunity. So I'm excited to see how a lot of them do. Some of the names I knew, of course, Ryan Lopez from Seminole. And then there's a couple other seniors, obviously, from Dixie and everything. So, again, excuse me, Holland. Sorry, I got to be careful saying that. But yeah, I'm excited for a lot of them, especially a lot of Pinellas County kids. There's a lot of kids from Calvary, a couple from Northeast as well. So great opportunity I got.
We're talking in the Body Armor Prep Connection with Brad Richardson, the voice, if you will. And I'm looking forward to his expertise joining us on a weekly basis as we cover the world of high school sports. Football, of course, kicks off here shortly. Brad, and let's talk about the rigors of. Do they have 2-a-days down here in this heat, or are they just one hard practice a day and then meetings? Because I remember 2-a-days in the Midwest, but they couldn't be any. I mean, they got to be brutal down here.
They still have 2-a-days depending on the schools, but they're monitored. Obviously, as you said, with this heat, the heat is brutal. It is very, very brutal here, and they're a lot more careful. But they still have them here and there, depending on the coach. So that's, they still do have them. They still do. So,
what week do they kick off the season here? I know they have. Are they like exhibitions at the beginning of the year? That do those count in the rankings, and do they count in the in the power rankings as well? Enlighten me on that topic.
Well, I mean, in the first week, I mean, they have one preseason game that's going to happen. Usually it's the end of August. It ranges with every team. Usually it's like August 20th, if I recall correctly, but I have to check that again because each is different. Obviously, you know, that's the first time you get to see them all out there. Of course, Seminole, they're going to start playing they're going to play Brandon first. So that'll help me get a chance to see, you know, who's all out there. You know, there's a lot of teams that are going to be out there playing in the season. And hopefully I'll get a chance to obviously see more within Pinellas County this year. But that's really, you know, that's really how it all works. It's just they'll start preseason, and right from there, obviously, they go into the regular season.
Yeah, last week I had the Northeast High football team, five of the seniors, and Coach Sean Davis come down. And they had a 9-1 season last year, his first season at the helm. And he talked about scheduling. And because of the success they had, and I didn't know you had an option, but as he's building his schedule, several teams backed out, and he said it. And I said, well, that's probably because of the success, and that's a reality. That seemed kind of strange to me, coming from the Midwest, that you build a schedule and a team can say, hey, we don't want to play, and it's not for obvious reasons. They don't want the loss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly on that. Sorry, I had to switch back. Oh, yeah, I had you on Bluetooth. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's really what it's all based on. That's all I could really say with that. So, it's interesting how they frame everything out.
Well, I know you follow them closely, and I know our buddy Ben Botham, who's moving down from Savannah State this weekend. Nice game and a nice win for the Rays last night. But your own Seminole Brett Phillips made a big difference last night.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, he's back to hitting now, so it's good to see that. Got two walks and then he got a nice single. So really proud of Brett, obviously, always just getting a chance to watch him. He's, you know, he's in a slump for a little bit, obviously, you know, he kind of had a slump, but now, you know, he's starting to hit again and home, and obviously we'll see what he has to do. I mean, you can never knock his arm when he's in the outfield. Obviously a lot of great plays he's made in the outfield. He made one actually recently too. So yeah, it's good to see him coming along. So it's kind of interesting too.
When
they played Baltimore, it was Jeremy against Brett, which I was kind of cool to see.
Hey, and another baseball story from last night. What'd you think of the Blue Jays and the Red Sox debacle? Four touchdowns for the Blue Jays and a safety and a field goal for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, exactly.
But bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. No doubt about that. No doubt about that.
All right, my friend. Well, I'll let you continue. You got anything enjoyable you're going to do on this Saturday, this hot, sultry Saturday?
Well, for starters, just try to stay indoors and stay cool for that, obviously. Obviously, catch up on a Rays game later and all that. I'll probably catch one, just watch one on TV. So, actually, my birthday is coming up soon. It's August 1st. I'm getting older, so maybe heading down to a Rays game and trying to snag one of those Brett Phillips jerseys, the basketball jersey one that it's a replica of you wore when he was a kid. So, but
send me a text. I'll get you the ticks, and I'll meet you here, and I'll buy you a birthday beverage. Well, I'll see you next Saturday, but I'll buy you birthday beverages and a bite, and get you some tickets for a birthday present to launch our relationship.
That sounds awesome.
How's that sound, my man?
That sounds awesome. So that'll be that, and just kind of enjoying myself this weekend. So,
well, relax, because you're not going to be relaxing pretty soon when football kicks off, and we'll have a lot of fun promoting it and getting involved. All right?
Absolutely, and I'm fingers crossed. Looking forward to that. Of course, Mr. Augie Sanchez will allow me to return to the booth for his first season as Seminole head coach. I'm excited to see what he's going to do, and get to announce those kids, and obviously get to announce his name over that system for the first time. So,
All right, my man. You don't need your fingers crossed. You're the voice. I'll talk to you soon, and I'll see you next Saturday.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. And he's Brad Richardson. He's the voice of Seminole Sports, and he's going to be our voice of high school coverage and our Body Armor Prep Connection each and every Saturday right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. And now it's a little time to wind down the show. Man, did that fly by. We had, I think, 7 different guests. And then with Big O and the Axeman, about 9 of us, we had 3 guests over on the T-Florida show. So survived this by myself. And I appreciate everybody who's out there listening on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, the Tan Talk family of stations, and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com. But we have really great news coming down the pike. And we'll start it next Saturday with some promos. So for Lynn Munoz, Murray, Wayne Hogan, Toby and Taden Hall, Big O and the Axeman, Brad Richardson, Joe Berdrow, and Big Ed on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship weekend.